And now we come to the gospel. Now, if you were going to be on the committee in the church thousands of years ago, when you were going to have the gospel for this feast, what would you pick? Would you pick a gospel account of the Last Supper? And if you did, what would you pick from the Last Supper? You might be surprised, though I'm sure that those who've been doing this for years, you remember. What the gospel is about is our Lord washing the feet of his disciples, which is the lowliest service that he can do until he actually dies for us. And so it's a prediction, an acted out symbol of what he is about to do. Notice the text goes, you see, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should pass from this world to the Father. That's the Passover. You see it? Now, not just out of Egypt into the Promised Land, but from this world to the Father. Okay. Having loved his own in the world, he loved them to the extreme, is the way I translate that, eis telos, you see. He loved them to the end, to the extreme, as far he loved them. Okay. That announces what you're going to hear now is the extreme love of the Son of God for us. That's what you're going to hear about now. And so, what he's going to do is act out his passion for them. Just think for a minute. If we let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, right, from Philippians 2, though he was in the form, in the nature of God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to. Rather, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. So, and here we have, he divested himself of his clothes and except the livery of a slave. And then he humbled himself, you see, becoming obedient unto death, death on the cross. And here he does the service of a slave. In other words, this washing of the feet is an acted out prophecy of what's going to happen. And it's at the Last Supper, where John is careful to tell us, if you understand this, you understand the Eucharist. And if you don't understand this, you don't understand the Eucharist. And if you do understand this, that means that all the things that you just heard Paul talking about, despising the poor, having cliques, all these things, they have got to go. Because the Eucharist is that act by which Jesus divests himself of his dignity, even his human dignity, and his divine dignity. And he takes on the form of a slave and becomes obedient unto death, and death in the electric chair, death on a cross. When people heard the word cross in those days, it wasn't something they hung around their necks. It was as shocking and degrading as the electric chair. And he obediently accepted that. And there he was, hanging naked on a cross, with people laughing at him as he was dying. That's love. So now he's going to say, I'm going to act it out another way for you to grasp. I'm going to put on the livery of a slave, just as Paul says in Philippians, and I'm going to do the service of a slave. And why am I doing that? So that you will imitate me. Otherwise, there'll be no church, and there'll be no preaching of the gospel. And so, see, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should pass from this world to the Father, this is John 13, having loved his own in the world, he loved them eis telos. You see, so when the supper And now comes the contrast. When the supper was in progress, the devil, already having put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, that he should betray him. Now we're going to see contrast after contrast. Jesus planning to lay down his life. Judas planning to make a few bucks by selling him. You see, and then, so that's one betrayal. And then Peter and the courtyard of the high priest, I never heard of this guy. I'm not one of his. I never heard of him. It's also betrayal, isn't it? So, at this feast, as we commemorate this, we have the example of two traitors, Judas and Peter. I think I've mentioned this before. You see? One gave up, killed himself. The other repented and became Pope. The power of God's forgiveness in the blood of Christ. Turn to the Lord. I don't care who you are. You know, if you repent for your sins, they are forgiven. Once you go to confession, bring them to the bishop via the priest, and you are absolved from your sins. Isn't that awesome? That's the prayer, the power that Jesus gives to these apostles after the resurrection. He breathes on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And that's when he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. That's the Holy Spirit. Here, we have this acted out parable. You see? The devil having already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, that he should betray him, knowing that the Father gave everything into his hands, and that he came out from God, and that he was going to God, he rose from the meal, put aside his garment, and taking a towel, servant's gear, tied it around himself. Then he put water into the basin, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples, that's slave work, and to dry them with the towel with which he was girt. Slave work. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you cannot understand now, because I am acting out for you my passion. What is going to cleanse you spiritually for all eternity is not the water in this basin, it's the blood in my body. And so, but you will grasp it afterwards. Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. That's baptism. And accepting the cleansing power of Christ in confession, in repentance, you see. So Simon Peter, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and head. Jesus said to him, the one who is washed has no need except for his feet to wash, is wholly clean. There's little dirt and big dirt. And all of you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew his betrayer. That is why he said, you are not all clean. When then he washed their feet, and he took up his garments, and again reclined, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Now, he's going to give us. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am. If then I washed your feet, I the Lord and the teacher, so you must wash one another's feet. I gave you an example, that as I did for you, so you do. So we have this ceremony on Holy Thursday, right, of washing the feet. But this is not a ceremony. This is service, self-abasement, forgiveness. If somebody offends against me, I forgive him to wash his feet. I humble myself. Otherwise, I'm not like Jesus at all. This is not a ceremony now. This is for real. You see? And now we have all these texts that talk about how preaching the gospel is this kind of a servant's act. Huh? I've already alluded to the text in Philippians. Okay, now, there's another text shortly after that one. This is Philippians 2, starting with verse 16. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. I imagine many priests think of that. I'm so tired. Have I done any good with my life? Oh. And then you think of this person who came back to the Lord, this person who went off to become a priest. You see, that's my crown. That's what I show the Lord, not my virtue. I don't have any. But what you did through me, look. You see, that's what he's saying. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith. So there's the sacrificial offering, the faith. And I'm the wine that's being poured over it, as in the sacrificial system, you see. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. Whoops, I skipped one. In the same way, you must be glad and rejoice with me. Look, I'm suffering for you, and I'm happy about it. Don't get nervous. Don't get sad. Rejoice. This is the work of Christ. That's big league ball, isn't it? That's professional. Okay. This is another one now. I'm just pointing out where this notion of service, you see, one I'm going to give you, I'll give it to you now because I'm watching my time. The Son of Man himself came not to be served, but to serve. This is what this acting out of the foot washing is all about. And what is that service? To give his life as a ransom for many. That's the service of which this is a symbolic manifestation, washing the feet. That's why he says, you wash one another's feet like I did for you. Yeah, not just a ceremony on Holy Thursday. I mean, serve those you're mad at. Serve those who have offended you. Serve those you're supposed to serve. And win them all over for Christ, whoever they are. That's why I'm making you a bishop or a priest. You see? Win them over. Wash their feet. Wash their ears. Do whatever you got to do to win them over. I want them with me in heaven forever. And so you got to help me. And so then he calls this collection. For the help provided by this contribution not only satisfies the needs of God's people, but overflows into widespread thanksgiving to God. Huh? Because when you have proved your quality by this help, they will give glory to God by the obedience which you show in professing the gospel of praise, as well as for the generosity of your fellowship towards them. Blah, 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 gospel, give to the poor. That's when it's real. And they will love you and pray for you. And you will be like Jesus. You'll take off your fancy stuff and you will serve. You see? And that's why the church takes this text on the feast of the Holy Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is only Eucharist if we love and serve each other. If we just go to church, hello, Mr. Jones, goodbye, Mr. Jones. Or even in our own family. See, it's got to be love and service, real service. Oh, I'm tired of serving. Everybody gets tired of serving because we got bodies and they hurt. But we have to keep going for the love of Jesus Christ so that when we die, we see him smile, say, you were doing just what I was doing. Come in. Amen.